Morning. Today's daf is Mem Zayin in Erevin, and we are beginning today on Mem Vav Amud Beis Klalei HaPsak. Today's daf is the one topic. Actually, there's a second topic at the end of today's daf, but primarily today's topic in the daf is going to be Sahada Paskin. We find very often in the Gemara Machlokas, the Machloksim in the Mishnayos, Machloksim in the Braisos, Machloksim amongst the Amoraim, but today's not a day dedicated to Amoraim. Today we talk Tanayim. So you have a Machlokas Tanayim, so who do we follow? So what is the general rules of Psak? Now who establishes, who came up with these decisions? So that's a reasonable question, and like all reasonable questions, I'm not sure if I have the best answer. But we're going to be speaking from the context of Amoraim and first generation Amoraim. Meaning, basically, we're going to be looking at how did the first generation of Amoraim view the Psak of the Tanayim. So here we're going to be talking primarily today about Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, how does he view the Klalei HaPsak? And Rav, how does he view the Klalei HaPsak? Okay, that's going to be our discussion for today. Let's get going. We are in the middle of Mem Vav Amud Beis. It's interesting how such a basic discussion in Shas comes up in the middle of Erevin, middle of the fourth parak of Erevin. Kind of an obscure place to discuss this, but that's just simply how Gemara works. Gemara, sometimes it's like finding a needle in the haystack. So here, it's a precious needle in a large haystack of Shas. We are in Mem Vav Amud Beis. We begin. The Gemara starts off, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Zrika, Amru, Halacha, ke Rabbi Akiva, Mechavero. So you have a dispute between Rabbi Akiva and anyone who's arguing with Rabbi Akiva. So the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Uch Rabbi Yossi, Mechaverov. And if there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and somebody else, so the Halacha follows like Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi, Uch Rabbi Mechaverov. And the halacha falls like Rebbe over that of a colleague of Rebbe. So lamai hilchasa. Now the Gemara says, now how does this apply halachically? Which is such a strange question. Meaning, we just said, in other words, if there's a machlokas between Rebbe Yossi or Rebbe Akiva or Rebbe against any one of his colleagues, so we follow like them. And then the Gemara says lamai hilchasa. It's a funny question. How does this have practical application? What do you mean? Of course, it has practical application. What the Gemara means by this, and you'll see this is clear from the answer that the Gemara is about to give, is, look, understood that the halacha is going to follow like Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi, understood, but to what degree? Meaning, how conclusive are we going to say the halacha is going to be like these Tanayim? Is there any room whatsoever for the other position in the world of normative halacha?
How is the three Tanayim ever arguing among each other?
Yeah, so, right, so Alex asked me that question. It's fine. I don't know. I don't know. Right. On the fly, as I think about it, I do not know. It's a very reasonable question. So Rabbi Asi Amar Halacha, Rabbi Chia Bar Avin Amar Matin, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Amar Nirin. So we basically have three levels of to what degree we follow the halacha. The first level is that of halacha. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi explains the three levels in the following manner. Rav Asi Amar Halacha, Mamish, Rashi writes, it is absolutely the halacha, Kamri, Rav Yaakov, Rabbi Zrika. Lamigmar Maisa Minei, Omeavid Karebi Akiva, Hechad Yalik Palagaleha, Ucher Rabbi Yossi, Afilah B'Makom Rabbim. So in other words, if you have an individual following like Rabbi Akiva, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, right? To use Rashi's language, mamish, meaning absolutely. And if we have Rabbi Yossi against anybody, and by the way, Rabbi Yossi's stronger. I mean, everything is relative, so I don't know, you know, to say stronger is a little strong. But in other words, even if Rabbi Yossi arguing with Rabbim, with more than one, the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yossi. And again, according to this first viewpoint, it's mamish, meaning it's absolute that the halacha falls like Rabbi Yossi. And same thing with Rabbi. That's level number one. Then the Gemara says matin. What does that mean, matin? This is another position. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Zrika, lav halacha mamish paske. When Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika made this statement, they don't mean it to be halacha mamish, meaning this is not absolute. But rather, alamatin ha'ara, acha Rabbi Yossi, v'yafilu b'makom rabim, do'arui marin la'adim yachil la'asos k'Rabbi Yossi, ava midrash b'pirkei b'rabin lo darshinan. Meaning, we're inclined, matin literally means we're inclined. We're inclined to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, or Rabbi Akiva. But it does not mean that it's absolute halacha. So the difference would be, says Rashi, If somebody comes to me individually and says to me, here's an issue, I know there's a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and a colleague of Rabbi Akiva, so then I speak one-on-one to another person, I say, you know what, Rabbi Akiva. But for me to get up and darshan in front of people and say, this is a halacha, fa halacha, fa halacha, like Rabbi Akiva, not to that degree. That's matin. And finally, the third level, which is nirin. Nirin, says Rashi, urui la marinan, v'imasek Rabbi Yosef la mahajer uvde. So, look, I'm not going to paskin. Meaning, I won't paskin in public. I won't even paskin privately. But in other words, somebody comes over to me and says to me, here's the issue, here's what I did. So if he followed the position of Yossi, so I won't tell him, look, that was irresponsible. Meaning, fine, I'll just simply nod my head and say, okay. So in other words, in all this entire discussion, where we say the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, like Rabbi Yossi, and like Rabbi, so now the Gemara has three opinions in terms of to what degree. That's all Aliba de Rashi, that's how Rashi understands it. If you take a look at Tosus, we're not going to go through it right now. The last Tosus on the Amud, he does not give the same explanation of this Gemara as Rashi does. He gives a slightly different, a modified version of what exactly these levels are. So please take a look at Tosus and see how he disagrees with Rashi over to what extent we're poskening. Anyway, this is the discussion we start off with. So, Kalashan Az Amar Rav Yaakov Ba'idi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Now the Gemara quotes more rules according to Rabbi Yochanan. So as I mentioned at the beginning of today's daf, we're going to be looking at it from the perspective of Rav Yochanan and Rav, meaning first generation Amoraim. So the first thing we're going to be doing is looking at it from the perspective of Rav Yochanan. So here we go. Rav Yehuda, Halachik Rav Yehuda. So if you find a Mishnah or a Braisa that has a dispute between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, so the Halach is going to follow like Rav Yehuda. A Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, Halachik Rav Yossi. Now, if it's Rav Yehuda over Rav Yehuda against Rav Yossi, so the halacha is like Rav Yossi ve'in sar chlamer Rav Meir, Rav Yossi halacha Rav Yossi. Now, at this point, do I even need to tell you that if there's a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, so we're going to follow like Rav Yossi? That goes without saying. If Yehuda can trump Rav Meir and Rav Yossi can trump Rav Yehuda, so obviously Rav Yossi can trump Rabbi Meir. Hash b'makom Rav Yehuda, leisa b'makom Rav Yosef mibaye. Good, and the Gemara makes exactly that point. Amar Rav Asi af ani lo made Rav Yosef, Rav Shimon, halachi Rav Yosef. Look, here's my tradition, that if I have a machlok between Rav Yosef and Rav Shimon, halacha is like Rav Yosef. Da amar Rav Abba, amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, halacha Rav Yehuda. So if we have a machlok between Rav Yehuda versus Rav Shimon, the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. Hash b'makom Rav Yehuda, leisa b'makom Rav Yosef mibaye. So the Gemara says, once again, it seems to be a bit of a no-brainer. Meaning, obviously, Rav Yossi is going to trump. Ibai lehu, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon Mai. Good. So now I see that Rav Yossi is a, you'll forgive me for saying this, but a one seed. Meaning, right, those of you who speak college basketball. So in other words, Rav Yossi trumps everybody. But what about Rav Meir, Rabbi Shimon? Meaning, we know Rav Yossi would trump either one of them, but what if they're pit against one another? Teiku, the Gemara says on that. We don't have a tradition. We do not know if there's a general rule regarding who do we go with over whom. Good. Okay, so far so good. We have the basic general rules of Klale Hapsak. So generally speaking, Rav Yossi over everybody. Rav Yehuda over Rabbi Meir. Rav Yossi over everybody. Rabbi Kiva over everybody. Again, that's only if Rabbi Kiva is arguing with a colleague, not with colleagues. Rebbe over a colleague, not over colleagues, and then Rav Yossi above everybody, including colleagues, meaning even if it's more than one person, the halacha is like Rav Yossi.
Is it all about forgetfulness?
No, that's Rav Yosef, who's an Amora. So in other words, we're strictly within the world of Tanaim. Okay, good. These are our Klali Hapsak. This is what we're going to be working with for the remainder of today. Now, again, just to reiterate, all this is according to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now, Amar Rav Misharsha Lesnu Lahani Klali. So Rav Misharsha says, you know, we don't hold of these rules, meaning that's very nice. I like the fact that you gave us all these rules. We don't hold of these rules. Menale Rav Misharsha Ha. So how did Rav Misharsha know this? Where did he get this from? That all these rules that we're going through are not really, they may be somebody's tradition, but we don't accept them, says Rav Misharsha. How do I know that? Ilema mehadinan. So the Gemara says, maybe comes from the following. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lama, David, Amalek, Machacher, Sapsuchim, Zulazu, Upsuchel, Sarushos, Arabim. Ir Vishai Machitonus, Nimahim, Tsaris, Imutar, Nimahim, Behemutar, Nimam, Vishai Machitonus, Asuros, Zuim, Zum. Okay, this is our Mishnah. Mishnah we learned just yesterday. The Mishnah brought in a mushal of Rabbi Shimon. Remember, we first started off by talking about two people who were next to one another. Neither of them had Chum Shabbos, for whatever reason, and they are standing one next to the other. They were within Dalet Amos of one another. Remember that if you don't have Chum, all you have is Dalet Amos. So they're within Dalet Amos of one another. One's Dalet Amos encroaches on the other. There's a little bit of overlap. So we learned in the Mishnah they can sit together, they can eat together. Then the Mishnah brought in the next case, which is three people who are standing in a row. None of them have Tchum Shabbos. And there's overlap between one and two. There's overlap between two and three. And in that scenario, one can eat with two, two can eat with three, but one can't eat with three. That's the Mishnah that we learned back on Mem Hei. And then Rabbi Shimon says, Lema hadavar dome, what is this similar to? And then Rabbi Shimon goes on to describe, it's just like three chatzeros in a row. All three of them are open up into Rishos Rabim. One may neirv with two. Two may neirv with three. One can transfer an item from one to two. One can transfer an item from two to three, but one cannot transfer an item from one to three. That was the mushal of Rabbi Shimon. Now, the Mishnah doesn't say all this, but it sounds like there's a machlokas. Meaning if Rabbi Shimon's giving this mushal, so someone's not agreeing with Rabbi Shimon's mashal. Now, who is that someone? So we're going to identify it's Rabbi Yehuda. How do we know it's Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with Rabbi Shimon? If you look back on the Mishnah, Daf Mem Hei, so you're not going to see Rabbi Yehuda. There's no mention of Rabbi Yehuda. So that bothered Rashi. Meaning the Gemara is about to assume that Rabbi Yehuda argues with Rabbi Shimon, and meanwhile, no word of where Rabbi Yehuda is located in our Mishnah. So either Rashi says it's just simply a tradition, that it's Rav Yehuda, or Rashi says, if you look back in the Perek, what you're going to find is, not that far back, by the way. In other words, if you look back in the previous Mishnah, back on Mem Hei Amud Aleph, so there you have the position of Rav Yehuda, and so perhaps what you can argue, says Rashi, is that the Rav Yehuda of the previous Mishnah continues on into this Mishnah. Okay, either way, just for the sake of simplicity, the position of Rabbi Shimon is that the three chatzeros in a row, so one cannot carry from one to three, because one did not make an error from one to three. But one can carry from one to two, one can carry from two to three, but you can't carry from one to three. Okay? That's the position of Rabbi Shimon. And on that, the Gemara now comments. We're on Memvav Amud Beis. I'm just trying to find my place as well. So, the Amar Rav Chama Bar Gur Ya Amar Rav Halacha Karabi Shimon. Now, Rav says the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Now, Uman Palag Aleha Rabbi Yehuda. And who argues on Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda. Now, as I just got done saying, you don't see that clearly in the Mishnah, but the Gemara assumes it. We're going to assume it as well. So, here you have now machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And Rav says the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. V'hamar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Now your klale hapsak tells us that if we have a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, so we follow like Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Shimon. So what are you doing over here paskening like Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says, so what do you see? We don't have these klale hapsak. So my kusha, the Gemara says, really, this doesn't bother me at all. Because Dilma Echad Idmar, Idmar Echad Lo Idmar Lo Idmar. So the Gemara says, look, when we're giving Klalei Hapsak, that just simply means that these are default positions, right? In any type of program, you have a default setting, okay? There are times, obviously, when you want to change the default setting, but there's a default setting. So here we have a system of law. The system of law basically says, look, we're going to have Machlokas, and then, in terms of who we're going to follow, we have a default Psak. So the default psak is going to normally be Rav Yossi, Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva. If we have a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda. So in other words, we have a default psak. But those are the defaults. If, for whatever reason, there was a feeling amongst the Amoraim that in this particular case, we're not going to go with our default setting, for whatever reason, they're going to tell us. Here, we're not going to go with our default setting. So, hecha de itmar, itmar. Hecha de lo itmar, lo itmar. So when the Amoraim go out of their way to tell us, not here, this case is going to be different, so that means this case is going to be different. But generally speaking, the halach is going to be like Rav Yehuda. Okay, so, and this answer of default standings, you're going to see again and again and again over the course of today's daf. It's going to be a common theme of today's daf. The Gemara says, well, why don't we consider the following? Elameha. The Gemara says, what about the following? Did not we learn in a Mishnah? Ir shall yachid v'nasa shall rabbi ma'arvin es kula. Shall rabbi v'nasa shall yachid ein ma'arvin es kula. Ela imkein ose chutzala ki ir chadash shem Yehuda. Sheish ba chamishim diurim divrei Reb Yehuda. So before I go on to explain the position of Rabbi Shimon, what's going on over here, Ir shal yachid, Ir shal rabim. The city of an individual versus the city of the public. What does that mean? So Rashi explains it over here. Rashi explains it later on as well, where this discussion comes up at the end of the fifth parak of Erevin, where we're talking now about a city. Okay, what is the difference between Ir shal yachid, Ir shal rabim? Ir shal yachid is a small city, right? A small town. Less than 600,000 people. Okay? And can you make an area for the entire city? Sure, no problem at all. Ir shel rabim, any city over 600,000 people. Can I make an area for the entire city? No, can't make an area for the entire city. In other words, even if the entire city is enclosed by walls, and even if everyone contributed to the Eruv, I can't make an area for the entire city. Now, is it because it's a Rishos HaRabim? So if you take a look at Rashi, and Rashi later on, no, not necessarily. It's not a Rishos HaRabim. If it would be a Rishos HaRabim, so you know you can't make an error for a Rishos HaRabim. So in other words, it just simply means that the town, the city is so big, it would just not be right to make an error for the entire town. Because then essentially what's going to happen is that people are going to start, are going to totally forget about this whole concept of caring, of Eruv. I mean, look, the truth of the matter is, I mean, for a moment, if we could be honest, I mean, we've forgotten all about carrying, you know, an Eruv, meaning we live a life where, on Shabbos, we carry, right? Every Jewish community, well, I mean, with exception, but most every Jewish community has an Eruv. And so we don't know about it. So the practice of Rabbi Teitz and Elizabeth, I remember growing up, is that one Shabbos a year, he would take the Eruv down. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so people would know, you know, Eruv, Shabbos, caring. But in other words, but we don't know. So if I took this big city, right, in the Ir shel rabim, and I just simply said, okay, let's make it here for the whole city, which we can do. In other words, we'll put an enclosure around the entire city, right, walls around the entire city, right, Suras HaPesach around the entire city. Rambam doesn't agree to that, but fine, whatever. In other words, then make walls around the entire city. We can make it here for the whole city. The problem's going to be people are going to forget about the entity of caring on Shabbos, an Eruv. And so if it's the Ir shel rabim, you cannot make an error for the entirety of the city. Good? You have to leave somebody out of the Eruv. How many people do you have to leave out for the Eruv if it's an Ir shel rabim? That's the machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon.
What's the purpose of doing that again?
It's just to remind people that this is an Eruv. And we're doing the only reason why we're able to carry is because an Eruv was created. How are we going to know that? Because some people are excluded. Now, those people are excluded. Are they going to be unhappy? Of course they are. But and how are we going to decide it? So that, of course, is politics. So but in other words, but somebody has to be left out. Good. So how many people are going to be left out? So that's subject to a machlokas. So 50 residents, says Rav Yehuda, has to be left out. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalosh Chatzer Shal Shnei Batim. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not a question of number of residents. It's structurally. Three Chatzeros, each one having two houses, have to be left out from the Eruv. Now, on this question of Ir Shel Rabim, big city, and how many people have to be excluded from the Eruv, so who do we follow like? Again, now we're on the top of Mem Zayin Amar Aleph. Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri Amar Rav Alacha Ke Rabbi Shimon. So the Alacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Oman Palagala Rav Yehuda. Now here it's easy because here it says it right in the Mishnah. We have a machlok between Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and Rav says the Alacha follows like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, why is he saying that? Again, our Klalei Apsak is you have a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We follow like Rabbi Yehuda. So it was, why is Rav saying that Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon? The Hamar, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. Or my Kusha, Dilma Hechanami. Hecha de Idmar, Idmar, Hecha de Lo Idmar, Lo Idmar. Again, the Gemara gives the same answer. Look, there are default positions. In the default position, the Halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda. But again, in any particular given machlokis in Shas, and you want to tell me now we're going to change the default, so the Amoraim have every right to change the default position. Elamehad did not. Gemara says, okay, what about the following? Hamnich is based on a halach lishbos b'iracheres. Echa nachri ve'echa Yisrael oser livnei chatzeros. Dear Rabbi Meir. Okay. You leave town for Shabbos. Okay. What's the problem? It's a very simple problem. You may ruin it for everybody. We know that in order to create an Eruv, every resident of the Chatzer must contribute to the Eruv. If you have one person, just one person, who does not contribute to the Eruv, so we don't have an Eruv. The whole purpose of Eruv is unification, and unification means everybody. Right? Nobody could say, I'm not giving. Right? Everybody's got to give, everybody's got to contribute. Yeah, no. That's what we do. Meaning we make sure everybody gives. But in other words, one way or another, either the rabbi's going to do it for us, or we got to do it. One way or another, everybody's got to contribute. So let's say a person goes away. Person goes away for Shabbos. Okay, so, and again, what we could have done is we could have given on his behalf. Okay, but in other words, but we're just dealing with the concept. And he didn't give. And so now, is he going to ruin it for everybody? So the simple answer would be, sure, of course he's going to ruin it for everybody. But that's the simple answer. But consider the following. He's not there. In other words, for that particular Shabbos, he's not there. Maybe we could say, in other words, we're not taking away the ownership of his house. That we're not doing. But can we at least say that for that particular Shabbos, he's not a factor in whether or not we do or we don't have an Eruv? So our mayor says, no, we don't take that into consideration. Meaning he's an owner, he's a homeowner, he needs to contribute to the Eruv. If he doesn't, we don't have an Eruv. That's the opinion of Rebbe Meir.
Why can't we use his objects?
No, but that's not the issue. The issue is, can I carry in this chatzer?
No, as a partner, in other words, his object becomes, like we did before, the object becomes like the one from Shvi'it.
No, but we're talking now not about Erev Tchum, we're talking about Erev Chatzeros, and basically the unification of everybody. And because he went away, he didn't contribute.
Quarter of Mayor non-Jews have participated in the Erev?
Yeah, so what we do with non-Jews, six parak of Erev, and we're going to talk this in more detail. Non-Jews don't contribute food. What non-Jews do is they rent out their rights.
And if they don't, then they...
And if they don't, we don't have an Erev as well. Okay, that comes up, that's going to come up later on. Okay, Hameniach es Beso. I'm starting again. Rabbi Meir. So Meir's position is pretty flat line, which is, it's not going to work. We're not going to have an Erev, even if he went away. Or let's say another way. Because he went away, so we're not going to have an Erev. He didn't contribute. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Oser. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no. He's not going to be Oser. In other words, he went away. We know he's not coming back for Shabbos. Okay, that's an assumption. But let's stick with that assumption. Especially if he's a Jew. He's not going to come back. He's not going to come back for Shabbos. So he doesn't play a factor in the decision of whether or not we do or we don't have an Erev. Because he's not away, so he doesn't need to contribute. Good. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And then Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nachri Oser, Yisrael Eino Oser, Mimnei She'ein Derech Yisrael Lavo B'Shabbos. And then we have the position of Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi strikes a somewhat of a compromise position, which is, if it's a non-Jew who went away for Shabbos, that presents a problem. Why? Non-Jew is going to come back on Shabbos. Meaning, because he's not Jewish. In other words, he doesn't have these rules of Tchum, so he can simply come back. If a Jew goes away for Shabbos, so that's going to present the problem. Why? That won't present the problem, because he's not going to come back, because he has these rules of Tchum. So once he went away for Shabbos, he can't come back on Shabbos itself. So for this Shabbos, we're fine. And he doesn't need to contribute. Okay, so that's the opinion of Rav Yossi. So we have so far in this discussion, three opinions, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yossi. Sorry. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Now Rabbi Shimon Omer, I feel like his base of halach was supposed to say bito, but osa ir eino oser shekvar yisiach daito. And then we have a fourth opinion on this matter, which is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who takes an extraordinarily lenient position, which is the following. Let's say you leave your house for Shabbos. You don't even leave town. You just leave your house for Shabbos. Where are you going to Shabbos? I'm going to my daughter. My daughter lives in the same town. I decide this Shabbos, for whatever reason, I'm going to be spending Shabbos by my daughter. In the same city, in the same town. You don't have to contribute to the Eruv. Meaning you're no longer considered a resident of your home, and therefore you don't have to contribute to the Eruv. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So you're not even away, you're just simply out of your house. Good. Now here, once again, Rav says, who does the halacha follow like? Like Rabbi Shimon. Now once again, in this four-way machlokas, who are one of the four positions? Rabbi Yossi. Now Rabbi Yossi he trumps everybody. Even if he's arguing against many people, he trumps everybody. So once again, the Gemara is going to formulate the same question. Uman palagaler Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara, by the way, the Gemara over here is not even so much bothered by Rabbi Yossi. Gemara is bothered by Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Rabbi Yossi should be trumping everybody. Okay, Rashi is bothered by that. Rashi says the Gemara could have gone with Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, the Hamar, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda. So once again, what happened to our Klalim? My kusha de mahachanami hechadit mar itmar hechadit lo itmar lo itmar. And again, same story. Look, there's a default position, there's default settings, but over here, for whatever reason, where the halacha goes like Rabbi Shimon. Elameha did not. It is curious, by the way. After the Gemara knows this answer, that there's default positions and then there's exceptions, so then every time we're going to have a ruling given, so then why does the Gemara keep asking when we know that basically this is going to be the patented answer? The Gemara goes on, Elameha did not, Zeu Shamru Ani Ma'arev Baraglav. Rabbi Meir Omer Anu Ein Lanu Ela Ani. Okay, now there are two ways to make an Erev Tchum. One way to make an Erev Tchum is with food. Another way to make an Erev Tchum, with you, your body. Meaning you walk over to the place that you want to establish as your Makam Shvisa, you stand there during the Bein HaShemashos period, and now you've acquired for yourself a new Makam Shvisa. Good. This idea that you can be making a Makam Shvisa with your legs, Biraglav, and you don't need food, is that for everybody? Or maybe that's only for an Ani, who simply can't afford to get extra food to lay down in his Makam Shvisa. So Rabbi Meir says, it only is for an Ani. Only the Ani can make an Erev Tchum with his legs. But if you're an Asher, if you're someone who can afford it, the only way you can make an Erev Tchum is with food. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Echad Ani ve'Echad Asher, Lo Amar Ma'arvin Bepas, El Alahakel Al HaAsher Shelo Yetze VeYarev Beraglav. So and Rav Yehuda disagrees, and Rav Yehuda says no, that's just simply wrong. Rav Yehuda says anyone can make an Erev with their legs. Why do we have this idea of making Erev Tchum with food? Just as a courtesy for the wealthy person, so that the wealthy person doesn't have to walk over there during the Bnei Shemashos period. But in other words, everybody can make an Erev with his legs. Umasni la Rabbi Chia bar Ashi lechia bar Rav kamei derav echad ani ve'echad asher. Both the ani and the asher va'amrle Rav seen by nami halache k'Rabbi Yehuda. And when Rav hears this, Rav says, and oh by the way, the way you should conclude this whole discussion is the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. So tarti lamali v'harmad Rav Meir Rav Yehuda halache k'Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says once again, following our general klali apsak, now don't we know this already? So here, this is now we know we have to come up with a different answer to this question, because here we're following the klali apsak, and then Rav goes out of his way, and Rav has to say, and I want you to say over here that the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda. We know that we have a machlokas over here between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. So the halacha should fall like Rav Yehuda. So why is Rav going out of his way to say, make sure to tell everyone the halacha is like Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara says, okay, But that doesn't bother me as well, because the idea that they are klalei apsak, this is an idea brought to us by Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael, he holds by these klalei apsak. Maybe, says the Gemara, Rav doesn't. And so now basically, this is how it's going to divide for the rest of today. Meaning that Rav Yochanan basically does subscribe to these klalei apsak, these default settings, and Rav does not. So in other words, in Bavel, under the guidance of Rav, there's not going to necessarily be these hard rules of, well, not such hard rules, but these basic rules of who do we follow. Ela mehadinan, the Gemara says, okay, let's consider the following. The following Mishnah, Yivam lo sachlos v'lo tisyabim ashiula gimel chadashim. Okay, upon death of her husband, so a woman may have to marry her brother-in-law. Okay, otherwise known as the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, right away? No, not right away. First of all, Halacha says she's only going to do Yibum if she is left a widow and childless. If she has a child, so then there's no mitzvah of Yibum. And even if she was left childless, but perhaps she was pregnant. Right, perhaps he died right after pregnancy. So what do? We wait. We wait for 3 months. 3 months is the time where you will now know whether or not you're pregnant. Okay, maybe things would be different with a pregnancy test that we have nowadays. Maybe, but right now we're just dealing with what they had back then. 3 months. 3 months you would know whether or not she's pregnant. So she must wait 3 months before Yibum is done. Or Chalitz is done. And this halacha of 3 months is not just limited to the Yavama, but it's true for any woman who is leaving one marriage and wanting to enter into another marriage. Lo yinasu v'lo yisarsu ashihulahen gimel chadashim. Echad besulos v'echad b'ulos, echad almanos v'echad grushos, echad arusos v'echad nesuos. And here, it does not matter whether she is a besula, b'ula, namana, grusha, whether or not she had either erusin with a previous husband or she had nesuin with a previous husband. It does not matter. If she is leaving one marriage and entering into another marriage, there always need to be a 3-month hiatus from one to the other in order to establish paternity. Otherwise, she'll marry within 3 months. She'll give birth to a baby 7 months later, and you simply will not know paternity, you will not know who the father is, so therefore there is a waiting period of 3 months. And even if you want to argue, well, there was no way that her first husband could have impregnated her, for example, let's say they only had Arison. They're not allowed to have relations. It does not matter. Anytime you're going from marriage A to marriage B, she must wait 3 months. Rav Yehuda Omer, Nisuos, Yes, arsu the arusos yinasu chutz me arusos shebi Yehuda memnei shelibo gasba. Now Rav Yehuda says no, not always. Meaning, let's say she's leaving a marriage, but the marriage that she's leaving is only through erusin. So that means she didn't have relations with her previous husband. So now she wants to remarry. She could do so within 3 months. Or let's say she's leaving a marriage of nisuin, but within 3 months she wants to do erusin. Engagement. I don't really mean engagement. Meaning erusin is marriage. But in other words, marriage without having relations. It's the first stage of marriage. It's marriage, though. To say it's engagement is really a misnomer. So that says, Rav Yehuda, that you could do. Because we won't have issues of paternity, because only with nisuin, which can't occur until 3 months later, that you have to wait for 3 months. The only exception is Erusin and Yehuda. Mimnei Shaliba Gasba, the practice in Yehuda is that even right after Erusin, the husband and wife would have relations. Okay, different story for a different time. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Anashim Yisarsu Chutz Min Almana Mimnei HaEbo. Rabbi Yossi says any woman can go through Erusin with exception to a widow because of Elos, meaning she needs to be mourning the loss of her previous husband, and so therefore for her, even Erusin, even though there won't be any paternity issues, she won't have any question of paternity, but still, in other words, she needs to have some sort of avails over her former husband.
Isn't it, I mean, how you could do 1 month for
a husband? Huh?
Isn't it, I believe, for a husband 1 month?
Yeah, but I'm saying, but in other words,
3 months?
No, but just something. In other words, no, just to have some waiting period. V'amrinan Rebbe lo ala. I'm sorry. V'amrinan Rebbe Allah zelo ala be midrasha. So now on this whole discussion, so the Gemara gives us a little bit of background. Rebbe Allah didn't go to the base midrash. Ashkechel Rebbe Asi David Kaim Amrle my amor be midrasha. So give me a quick update. What happened in base midrash today? Amrle hachem Rebbe Yochanan lachik Rebbe Yosi. So the halacha is like Rebbe Yosi on this issue. Mechlal diyechida palig aleha. So the Gemara says, well, makes it sound like only an individual is arguing with Rabbi Yossi. In the Hatanya. And the Gemara is now going to make the point that it's only an individual arguing with Rabbi Yossi. How do I know that? Because of the following Braisa. Hai reshaisa redufa leilech lebeis aviyah. The Braisa over here is going to give a number of scenarios where we know basically that they may have been married, but they were not being intimate with one another. She was running to her father's house. There was a lot of anger. Or let's say the husband was older, he was infirmed. Or maybe she was old, an akara. Zakena, menopause maybe, Kitana Islandis, or she's too young to have children, or she's an Islandis, Shaina Ruyale later, for whatever reason she can't have children, Oshaya Balach Chavish Bevesarsurum, or her husband for those last years of marriage were imprisoned, Amapelas Achamisas Bala, or let's say she just had a miscarriage. In other words, right, all these scenarios basically point to the same conclusion. She's not pregnant from her previous husband. In all these cases, according to Rabbi Meir, she has to wait 3 months. We're just going over this brisa to show us that this first opinion, where it does not matter, even if we know that she was not pregnant from her first husband, she still needs to wait 3 months. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi matir le'arusinase miyad. So, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, she wants to be ma'ares. She wants to get married. She can do so immediately. The whole three-month waiting period is only to establish paternity. Here, there's no question of who the father is going to be. So, therefore, she can get remarried right away. Salam alaykum, Rabbi Yossi. So, the Gemara says, okay, so once again, why do you have to tell me in this case the halacha falls like Rav Yossi? We know that. We go back to the previous Amud. We go back to our Klalei Apsak. The Klalei Apsak is that Rav Yossi is going to trump. But why do you need to even tell me this? We know it already. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's a competing general rule, which is that if I have Rav Meir espousing a position regarding a Gzera D'Rabbanan, we normally follow Rabbi Meir in his viewpoint on Gzeros. So I might have thought that in this case, yes, it's a machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Sorry. Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. And yes, we normally follow like Rav Yossi over Rav Meir. But over here, we're talking about a Gzera D'Rabbanan and perhaps the general rule that we follow Rav Meir in his Gzeros, in his viewpoint on Gzeros, is going to trump the other rule that halacha follows like Rav Yossi. Okay, so that's why over here, we have to go out of our way to say the halacha is like Rav Yossi. Next, Elameha, Ditanya. So you can go to the market, to the fair of Goyim, and you can buy from them. Now, in general, the first parak of Avodah Zarah talks about commerce and non-Jews. But not just non-Jews, but religious non-Jews. Non-Jews who are idolaters, non-Jews who really believe in their idolatry, and the problem is going to be, is that if he makes a great deal, so what is he going to do? He's going to thank his gods. The problem is, it's lowercase g, right? In other words, if he's thanking God, that's great. But he's thanking his gods. So basically, if you do a business transaction with an Ovid Avodah Zarah, so you're going to be aiding and abetting in the Isser of Avodah Zarah. One of the prohibitions of a non-Jew is that he can't be...
He's actually a grammar.
It can't be Ovid Avodah Zarah. Now, there's an issue of Lifnei Iver. Right? Lifnei Iver, Lo Tite Michshol. And as, right, so I just had this discussion with somebody. It applies to non-Jews. Absolutely. Lifnei Iver applies to non-Jews.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So in other words, on one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, so you have this Isser of Lifnei Iver. So The first Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, remember, says that 3 days before his Yontif, right? So you can't do any transactions with the guy 3 days before his Yontif, right? Because that's the time when he gets really religious, okay? And every transaction, oh, thank God. But again, not capital G, small G. So there's a Yerid. Now the Yerid is some sort of market, some sort of fair, but with religious undertones. So every time you make a transaction over there, so once again, you may be aiding and abetting in Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah says, "Holchin liyirishal nachrim v'lo chimehem beim avavadim u'shvachos batim sadas u'kramim v'kosiv u'malah ba'arkosh lahem." So you can buy, and you can buy animals and slaves and houses and fields and vineyards, and you can write it up in their courts. Another general no-no, but you can do it. Mimneshu kematzil miyadan. Because you're saving it from their hands. What exactly does that mean? Take a look at Rashi, last line of the Rashi. Sholo yachzar v'kocham v'yarara al-mechira. No, I didn't mean that Rashi. Sorry, the Rashi of Liyarid. It's the fourth line from the bottom. Shuk hanikval yom chag shol avdi kochavim. Right, that's what I was trying to tell you earlier. In other words, it's not just a market. In other words, it's a market with religious undertones. Right, it was put together because of a festival that they had, a pagan festival that they had. V'lokim ehem batim v'sadavs mimnei shemim iten inami mishum yishuv eretz Yisrael. So Rashi says part of the issue can be that it's part of settling Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, the more property we own in Eretz Yisrael, the more yishuv, the more settling we're going to have of Eretz Yisrael. So everything is a give and take. Over here, yes, there's a general issue of you're not allowed to encourage them to be over there of Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Right? It's important to settle Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, v'ima ya kohen mitame b'chutz aretz ladon olari mahem. Even if you're a kohen, now leaving Eretz Yisrael for a kohen shouldn't do it. Right, tumas ha'amim, meaning any nation outside of Eretz Yisrael is tamim midrabanan. So therefore, the kohen walking out, stepping foot out of Israel soil and landing on chutz la'aretz soil, so that's a violation of tumah derabanan. But again, for the mitigating factor of I'm arguing with them, I'm taking them to court, so that you're allowed to do. Ukishem shematame b'chutzar, kach matame b'beis ha'kvaros. And Cohen can even go on to a cemetery if it's necessary. Now the Gemara says, slow down. We don't mean a real cemetery, because that's an Issa Doraisa. That the Cohen cannot do. The Issa Dorabana Beis HaPras, that's fine. Ometame Lisa, Isha, Loma Torah. And let's say the Cohen needs to get married. And tried the scene in Eretz Yisrael. Wasn't working out. Okay? The nice girls out there outside of Eretz Yisrael. So is he allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to get married? Yeah, that he can do. And Limud HaTorah, they're wonderful yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. But whatever. He feels his learning is going to be better outside of Eretz Yisrael. So fine. So he can leave Eretz Yisrael for Limud HaTorah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Mesa Bizman Shein Motzi Lomod. Aval Motzi Lomod Lo Yitama. So Rav Yehuda says, well, depends. If he can't find any yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, so then he can leave Eretz Yisrael. But if there's a yeshiva, if there's somebody where he can learn Torah from in Eretz Yisrael, so then he cannot leave Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Omer Afizman, Shemot Silomo, Nami Yitama, Lefi She'ein Minakol Zocha Adam Lomod. So then Rabbi Yossi says, no, even if there's a yeshiva and the town is living in Eretz Yisrael, but he finds that his learning will be better elsewhere, he can go elsewhere. In other words, learning is not an objective, right? It's not black and white. Sometimes you'll be learning in one yeshiva, it's just not working out, and you move to another yeshiva and it'll work out. Right? Ein mina kol zocha adam lomod. Good. So Rav Yossi allows the Kohen to leave even if there's a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Yossi tells the story of Yosef HaKohen, who leaves Eretz Yisrael, he goes to the town of Sidon, he's learning Torah by him, and then on this entire discussion of, can a Kohen leave Eretz Yisrael in order to learn Torah, even though that he's going to be violating a Tumah Derabanan of Eretz Ha'amim, so on this, Rabbi Yochanan, a key word over there, Rabbi Yochanan says, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. And again, all this leads us to the following question. What happened to the guidelines? The entire morning started with their guidelines. And one of the guidelines is that if you see Rav Yossi in the Mishnah, you know already the halacha is like Rav Yossi. So why does Rav Yochanan over here have to tell us the halacha is like Rav Yossi? V'lamali v'ha'amar Rav Yehuda Rav Yossi halacha Rav Yossi Amar Abaye Yitzrich Sakhidah Chamina Hanimila B'mastisin Aval B'braisa Emolo Kamash Malan. Yes, if we find a machlokus in Mishnayos between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, the halacha is going to be like Rav Yossi. You're right. But maybe not so in Braisos. Why not? Take a look at Rashi again over here. Rashi writes, Dema ichlef de Rav Yehuda le de Rav Yossi, u de Rav Yossi le de Rav Yehuda. Braisos are not as edited. Mishnayos were super edited. So when you have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, here's his position, and here's his position, you know, that's his position, that's his position. Braisos are not as well edited, and so what happens sometimes in a Braisa is that positions get flipped.
Yeah.
Right. Right, you see that often, the Gemara is going to say epoch. So positions get flipped. So, you don't know, you know it's a machlok between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, you're not 100% sure which is espousing which viewpoint. So that's what I might have thought, and that's what Rav Yochanan has to tell us, in this regard, the halacha is like Rav Yossi. Meaning, the Rav Yossi you're reading is actually Rav Yossi.
Even
the Braisa. Okay, Adkan, that takes us through the entire discussion of Klali Apsak. Emalo Kamashman. Ela Hachi Kamar. Hani, I'm sorry, Abai Yitzrach Sakam Hamimbis Ava Beraisa. Emalo Kamashman. Ela Hachi Kamar. Hani Klal Lav Devra Akolinu, the Harav Leifle, Hani Klale. I'm sorry, that was an important line. So the Gemara says, finally, you know what? All well and good, you're right. Going back to the beginning of the entire discussion, going back to the statement of Rav Misharsha, which is back on Menvavim and Beis, where the whole discussion started, where he says, we don't follow these Klalei Apsak, to which the Gemara now is saying, when he says we, he doesn't mean we. Rav doesn't hold by the Klalei Apsak. So in other words, we now have basically two schools of thought. Rav Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael basically has Klalei Apsak. He has these guidelines in terms of who we're going to follow. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva versus anybody else. In other words, we have Klalei Apsak. That's Rav Yochanan's school of thought. And so therefore, for Rav Yochanan determining the halacha, it's pretty straightforward when you have these combatants. What about Rav and Bavel? Rav does not subscribe to these guidelines. So for Rav, it's totally a case-by-case basis in terms of how we're going to follow the halacha, and he simply does not have these guidelines. Occasionally, or it's, you know, there are going to be times when obviously he's going to follow like Rabbi Yossi and he's going to follow like Rabbi Akiva, but not as a default setting. Okay. Adkan. Okay, that takes us through the entire sugya. The next sugya of the daf, which right, we should do, is Cheftzei Nachrim, right? Objects owned by a non-Jew, whether they have tchum or they don't have tchum. Well, we'll start the sugya tomorrow. Tomorrow we will invest ourselves in the new sugya. Okay, but today we got through the sugya of Klalei Apsak. Continue Rafu Shlema for Binyamin Zevakon Ben Sharon Rivka, for Rafal Zaka Avram Ben Yakira Avigal, Michanan Yemen Akasham Rasakash Bachu Zaka Sol Ficha Chirbem Torment Shanemar, Nechavitzaman Siko, Yagdil Tarabi Adir.